Hello, and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. This is Steve. This week, we have an interview with Susan French, the head of product and operation at BBVA Open Platform. Please note that we recorded this before the COVID-19 pandemic, but I bet you could use some distraction from that. Enjoy.
All right, I'm joined by Susan French, the head of product and operations at BBVA Open Platform. Welcome to the podcast, Susan.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Great to be here. So we have a lot to discuss in terms of the role that you and your company play. But before we do that, can you give us sort of the overview about your career and how you got into this space?
Sure. I've been in the financial services business in one way or another for a long time, probably longer than I'm willing to admit to. I've been at BBVA for 3 years now, all of it with Open Platform. Prior to BBVA, I was 12 years at Visa, where I held a number of different roles. The last role I had at Visa was the global head of Visa's developer platform. So I created and launched what is now Visa Developer, their global API platform. Prior to that, I was head of enterprise architecture and head of research and central technology at Visa. Prior to Visa, I had my own consulting company. Prior to that, I tried unsuccessfully to start my own fintech company. Bad timing in the industry when the internet bubble was bursting.
So this is around 2000 or so?
Yeah. And prior to that, I spent a lot of time with a business and IT consulting company specializing in credit operations.
And we play to a generally fintech audience with a lot of interest in consumer fintech, but maybe not a lot of insights into the API space and the platform space. Can you speak to us about what it is that an API gateway or what the BBVA Open Platform actually does?
BBVA Open Platform is a banking as a service platform, which means that we deliver via API banking and payment services that clients, companies can embed in their applications. So everything we do is delivered via API. We don't have a user experience of our own because the objective of Open Platform is to enable clients who want to open bank accounts, issue debit cards, make payments, do disbursements, you know, all of those sort of financial transactions within the context of their own application, their own user experience, their own customer journey. So obviously with a lot of the fintechs, their objective is to deliver, you know, gig economy services or to deliver financial planning services or to create a digital bank under their brand with their set of services. But under the covers, they need a bank and a technology platform that enables them to perform those banking and financial services seamlessly within their app. So we offer the ability for our clients to do customer and business KYC and the sort of screening that needs to be done on them. They can open digitally bank accounts. They can issue debit cards. And they can move money from one place to another via a variety of different payment rails, ACH, bill payment, electronically generated checks, debit pull from and push to debit cards, Visa and MasterCard debit cards in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So depending on what their business is, what their use case is, they may use some or all of those services from us.
Perfect. So to give our listeners a more concrete example, so a company like Simple, which I think a lot of us are really familiar with, how would Simple use the BBVA architecture and Open Platform to enable their services?
Okay, well, Simple is a digital bank. And so, and is a user of BBVA Open Platform. So Simple, you know, the first thing that Simple has to do when a prospective customer arrives is they have to perform identity verification and KYC on that consumer because we are a regulated financial institution, you know, those SIP requirements and KYC requirements required. So they would use our API to do that. assuming the consumer was, you know, successfully screened, the next thing they probably want to do is open a checking account for that consumer. A simple checking account, but under the covers, they're calling BBVA Open Platform Create Account API to create that account. They may also want to issue that same consumer now a debit card that they can use to access the funds in their checking account. That debit card is white labeled, simple, on the front with the client's logo and the client's branding. On the back, it's clear that the card is issued by BBVA. But as far as that consumer is concerned, they got a simple checking account and they've got a simple debit card. Now that consumer probably wants to either make purchases with their debit card or they want to fund their account by pulling funds into their newly opened simple account by pulling via ACH funds from another bank account they may have at another institution. And so within the simple app, you can initiate a pull of funds from another bank account into your newly opened simple account. And simple would use our Move Money API to enable that to happen.
So this is basically a way for you to provide the services that may be more on the back end that are essentially democratizing access to technology and enabling all these fintechs to go to market, right? I wonder, yeah. There's been sort of this argument about potentially banks becoming the dumb pipes and just providing these kind of services. What is your take on the role that banks and their API gateways can play in the future to enable more fintech to come to market?
Well, I think we talk about this often in these kinds of forums because the question that's often asked is, you know, why would BBVA want to not have their brand front and center? And why would it be the Simple brand or the Digit brand or the Wise brand or whatever the branding is of our clients, rather than it being a BBVA mobile app, although BBVA does have a mobile app. Mm-hmm. The reason why we're so passionate about Open Platform and about what it enables our clients to do is it's a way for us to gain customers and gain deposits and gain transactions through a network of providers who are interacting with their customers, delivering value to their customers in a way that the bank could never do through traditional bank marketing channels. Mm-hmm. So if it's Simple or it's another digital bank or it's Digit or it's any of the other clients on our platform, they are providing their services to their customers, but at the same time, they're creating, you know, brand new customers for BBVA and depositing funds at BBVA and moving transactions through BBVA that create a community of customers for us that we would never see through a traditional, you know, branch or direct mail campaign or anything else under the BBVA brand. So we view it as very complementary to the growth of our business as opposed to, you know, in conflict with it.
Got it. So there's essentially no case in which maybe the strategy could result in some misalignment in terms of the incentives. Everyone's sort of working together to enable these services. You guys get to grow your deposits. The fintechs get to deploy new services. And the customer benefits from maybe an interface that couldn't be offered by a traditional Wall Street bank, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the rise of digital banks in the U.S., whether it's Simple, which we happen to own, or it's Chime, or it's Alloy, or it's the, you know, the N26s and the Revolutes moving across the pond from Europe, they're all creating unique customer experiences for their customer that happen to include the ability to do banking, but may also include other services around budgeting, financial planning, all sorts of other capabilities that make their particular digital banking value proposition unique in the marketplace. But all of them still need to have the ability to do basic banking services. So why shouldn't they be able to leverage our platform to do that?
So I understand that BBVA is part of a Spanish bank, and in the EU we have things like the open banking phenomenon and PSD2 and other things as well. Can you speak to how maybe the approach to the services that bank offers differs in the U.S. versus the EU?
Well, obviously in EU, you know, a lot of the development work around APIs and API enablement has been focused on what the banks need to do to comply with GDPR and PSD2. And a lot of the API development has been more focused on enabling, you know, the data sharing requirements and enabling the transaction authentication requirements. Clearly that the platforms that each of the banks have built to accommodate those APIs now can be built out to accommodate new functionality, just like we've done here in the States. Each of the BBVA global banks, including the bank in Spain, Bancomer in Mexico, here in the US, our bank in Turkey, are also investing heavily in building banking as a service APIs that provide more functionality than just what's required by PSD2, and are starting to do things similar to what we are doing here in the States. So I think of banking as a service as a macro set of capabilities that open banking in Europe is a subset of.
Interesting. So I was in a global payments workshop yesterday in Palo Alto, and they kind of did a very informal poll in the room saying, when do you think something like open banking will come to the US, or will be more bottom up or bank driven? And I think that most everyone in the room thought that it was at least 5 years out. Maybe it will never be the case in the US. Do you foresee something that's more government regulated taking place in the industry here, or is it just a different model, a different landscape from a banking perspective?
I believe that we will see more regulation in the U.S. similar to what is transpiring with open banking in Europe. I agree with most of your fellow attendees that it's probably farther away than most people would think. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the challenge in the U.S. is, you know, the regulatory landscape is so diverse. You know, there's not just federal regulations, and there's not just the Fed and CFPB and OCC. There's all of the state regulatory bodies and all of the regulation they're developing. So I think some things will start to happen at the state level. You already see that with CCPA in California.
Yeah.
Some of it may come top down from the federal government. I don't think it will be as uniform and seamless, or as uniform as it was in Europe. But I think you will start to see some of that migrate to the U.S. for the same reason it did in Europe. Consumers are concerned about privacy. They're concerned about control of their data. They're concerned about the transportability of their data. Mm-hmm. And that demand will manifest itself in the U.S. as well.
Got it. I know that there's been a big push in the past 6 months or so to kind of get into the consortium approach to financial data sharing with things like the financial data exchange, and most banks now seem to have, again, sort of an API strategy. What is your take on how that maybe will shape the landscape of the industry in the next 3 to 5 years?
That's a good question. I think there are differing opinions among the major bank management about whether enabling data sharing is a good thing or a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also the perspective in the U.S., which isn't quite as strong in Europe, about big tech and its, you know, access to and control of data, and what big tech is doing to deliver pseudo banking services as well. So I don't know, for the same reason that regulation is as diffuse as it is in the U.S. or as diverse, that consortium development will be slow coming.
Got it. A follow-up question on that. There was some news, I believe, earlier this year where I think it was PNC that actually blocked API access or screen scraping access by Venmo. I think Jamie Dimon announced recently that he was going to cut off access to, I believe, Plaid as well for their services. What is your take on how that dynamic will play out? And also, what is BBVA doing to enable a more secure data sharing of its customer data?
Well, there's a couple of different questions in there. I think many banks, and Chase is one of them, are trying to figure out how to navigate the kind of love-hate relationship that exists between banks and fintechs, and find a way to both provide what their consumers are asking for, which is portability and access, but at the same time do it in a way that is secure and is controlled by the banks in a way that makes sense for them. And so you're starting to see many of the banks now independently offering APIs to access customer data. You're seeing partnerships between fintechs like name escapes me at the moment, but where there are partnerships developing around the sharing of customer data. BBVA has a service called BBVA Connect, mm-hmm. which is a way for customers of the bank to authenticate themselves and then enable their data to be shared with other clients. And we have one client, Zero, that uses that service through our platform. I think sooner or later, market demand is going to come around and the banks are going to figure out how to, you know, collaborate with fintechs around access to data and sharing of data in a way that makes both economic sense for the bank, enables, you know, usability by fintechs, and provides the level of security around the exchange of data that consumers expect. Our chairman has been quite vocal on the fact that data sharing is a good thing. In fact, he gave a keynote address on that topic at Money 2020 in October. So BBVA's point of view is that sharing of data is a good thing as long as it can be done in a way that is secure and appropriate.
Yeah, the fear for me whenever I used to grant a third party fintech access to my banking data, it would be, you know, if that data is compromised, which can happen, will happen, who is liable, right? Which party will make me whole? So that's why I've actually made an effort to stop granting access to third party apps essentially to my banking data, unless I know they go through an API. Sort of a weird distinction, but I know that my thinking is that as consumers get more acquainted with data sharing and the repercussions of that on their finances, there may be some pullback from the old screen scraping, which seems to be like part of a vestige of the old wildcatting data days from the, you know, 90s. I think hasn't Yodlee been around for something like 25 years or so, and they're now beginning to do APIs. So it seems like it hasn't always been done with security, at least in my mind, at the forefront of what they do.
Yeah, I think all of the banks would prefer that these data aggregators not screen scrape, and that in fact they use APIs that are appropriately secure and, you know, better suited to the exchange of data. And I think that will happen. I think it's an interesting concern, because if you look at a lot of the development, all of the growth and innovation in fintech, and in fact, if you look at the portfolio of our clients and the use cases they're doing, they all depend on, or many of them do, on their customers being willing to link their external accounts to the app, so that in the case of Digit, so that they can monitor income and expense in an external account and help identify when it's safe to funnel out funds to towards savings goals. In the case of one of our newest clients, Rome HR, is wanting to look at your income and expense so they can identify income in your account that is subject to tax withholding, so that they can help you start saving for your estimated tax payments. Other clients all kind of depend on having some linkage between the account or the app that they're building. So being able to do that linkage securely, to be able to verify ownership and appropriate authorization for those transactions, is very critical. to the success of our business and to the success of fintechs who are taking advantage of services like that.
Yeah, I have to agree. I am going back to the workshop that I was in yesterday, but I didn't know this, but apparently cardless transactions are overtaking card transactions. By Q3 of this year, there'll be more volume and more transaction dollars as well than just swiping your card. So I can see that how banks would want to play a role in the new world of fintech and financial services.
Yeah, I don't know the statistics, but it wouldn't surprise me. If you take a look at e-commerce payments, mobile payments, and financial transfers, a la Venmo, PayPal, Square Cash. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if the trend is toward, you know, a bigger proportion of transactions in a non-standard, you know, card swipe environment.
Yeah, that sort of makes sense. So what do you think is really interesting? What excites you in terms of what's coming down the pipeline in the fintech space?
A couple things, I think. Real-time payment rails. You know, more and more, we're seeing more and more demand from consumers and others for more immediate payments, you know, instant payments, payouts through, you know, pushing transactions or funds to debit cards or credit cards. Contactless is finally making inroads, and so more and more contactless payments, and I expect that most of those to be mobile payments as opposed to somebody tapping their contactless card at a traditional point of sale. I think we're going to continue to see incredible innovation in fintechs and the kinds of services that they offer to their consumers. If you look at the gig economy alone and how that economy as a whole is booming, a big chunk of what makes that economy fly is the ability for those providers to pay their independent contractors, their sole props, their independent contractors through their app. So whether you're, you know, driving for Uber, or you're doing you're walking dogs, or you're picking up the scooters on the street and charging them up, or you're delivering things. The fact that in that business app for that gig economy provider, they can pay you instantly is a huge growth driver for that business.
So I see a number of the companies you work with on the BBVA open platform page here. You mentioned Simple, Digit, Owl, Zero as well. How can a startup that's interested in offering their services through your platform get in touch with you or get access to your services?
Well, anybody who wants to can, you know, go to our website, sign up for a developer account, and start playing with our APIs in the sandbox. So if you're a fintech startup or if a more established business that now wants to look at API-based delivery of services, you can, you know, sign up for a developer account. You can start integrating our APIs. You can start playing with them now. If you're interested in moving beyond exploring in the sandbox and, you know, developing a relationship with us, then you can get in touch with us through the website contact us page, or you can call me or email me, and we'll start talking.
I promise I won't put your email up on the podcast, so you won't be bothered.
Okay, but certainly through the website, an enterprise that's interested in the possibility of incorporating our APIs can get directly in contact with us.
Well, I think this is a good place to end it. Thank you very much, Susan, for joining us. I appreciate it.